Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously. He's shaking his head. He doesn't think so.
Oh, yeah. Audio medium. Yeah. Sorry.
You can do it. You gotta narrate. You gotta say shaking head.
Disagreeing.
Yeah, we established, right, that you are further away now from believing in ghosts than you ever were before.
Yeah, this is true. You're gonna be ghosting the city of Chicago pretty soon. So you're gonna be
That's true. The latest ghost. Yeah. I already ghosted St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. This podcast survived that ghosting. I guess it'll survive the next one.
I guess so. I was thinking about it today because I did make a video on my author Facebook page today because I have to get rid of all these books. So please, hey, if you're listening, please buy my books.
Yeah.
I don't want to move these books again. They're so heavy. Books are so heavy.
Also, please don't hack Clayton's LinkedIn account again. Please don't.
That ate up several hours of my morning. Please stop hacking my LinkedIn account.
Man. There are so many more fruitful ways to ruin your life than hacking an account that you don't want to have in the first place.
I don't know if that's true, actually, because it's just annoying enough where I have to figure it out before they do. Like of my professional connections are there.
Yeah.
As it is, you know.
Before they slash and burn. And
yeah. If they start doing bad things, that is probably the worst place to do it. Because on Facebook, people are just like, oh, there's someone else on Facebook again.
Dumb shit got hacked again. All right. But on there, they're LinkedIn. Like, oh, you're very fired now. This is.
Yeah.
This is more porn than you should really have on here.
What do you think is the right amount of porn for LinkedIn?
Oh, 5%. 5%?
Okay. It's a little generous. Wow. You engineers. I can't believe, LinkedIn acted pretty quickly to get my account back to me, considering I had to like go through a third party company to verify my identification, and it was just, you know, hours. But man, I had things I wanted to do today. I had yard work to do.
Oh no. And now you didn't.
I'll never do it. This is my one day. Now we'll never see it.
Now the city gets to take care of it.
That's right. Oh well, I was gonna sell this house, but now I guess we're just gonna have to abandon it in the dark of night. We were talking about something.
I don't remember. I really don't.
Side track. All right. Whatever. Okay.
None of this matters.
That's correct. Speaking of being sidetracked, Aaron had a really good idea.
Oh.
So you know how every once in a while, people will complain to me, on the various media, about how we don't really get to the ghost story quickly.
Is it just every once in a while?
It's pretty often. It's anytime we do anything that might bring in potential brand new people.
Right.
Then the concentration of people then who say, will you please just get to the fucking story?
Right.
It ratchets up a little bit. So when that happened, you know, people, so that every once in a while that will happen. People will get mad about that. And Erin had a good idea. She said, you know what we could do is every episode now, we could see if Jeremy can just like put a little, like a ding. Mm-hmm. And right before the story starts. So if you're listening, you can tune out a little bit. And when you hear ding, then you know it's story time.
Yep.
And you can tune back in.
Yep. Yeah. The very, very Pavlovian solution. I like this.
Yes. Yep. I think it solves the problem. And we can just tell people, just wait for the ding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Jeremy, if you can find a good ding, that would be great. Let's give it a shot and see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Or do you want me to just do a couple
of things? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
let's give some space on either end, okay? Mm-hmm. So...
Ding. Not bad. Okay, I get more.
Good, yeah.
I get more. Dong.
I do. Jeremy, can you cut Patrick saying dong and just set that aside for other potential purposes? I don't know exactly what we use that for, but we might need that.
Episode 250, the sesquicentennial celebration will be Patrick Dong. And finally, beep. That'll be a good one, too.
Oh, that's a good one. God, that's the most annoying one.
That's the turn the page sound right there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I was in class this week, and a girl was giving a presentation, a slideshow presentation, and the clicker wasn't working. I usually have a clicker, but it wasn't working for this. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I said, well, just tell me when to advance the slides. I'll do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, good. I'll snap at you. And I said, not, what? No. She's, yeah, just snap. And I was like, really? And I thought she was joking. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, she was not joking. She would finish the slide and she would go.
Is she a good snapper?
She's a pretty good snapper.
Okay.
So it was very clear. And I thought, this is the insulting version of those Disney stories that I used to read on tape when I was little.
Would she make eye contact with you when she snapped or just snap over her shoulder?
Oh, no. No, just like to the side. And low, too. Just, you know.
I'm jealous. I cannot snap. I mean, snap. I can snap, but I got these big pasty fingers. It's like a.
Let's see. Let's try it out.
I'm not exaggerating. This is as good as it gets.
That's impossible.
That's it. That's impossible. All it is. Yeah.
Look at this. Make you jealous?
It's a little bit. I mean, it's a little. But yeah, like again, last one. That's it. That's the whole thing.
It's impossible.
I don't know.
It's impossible. These big, you coat your fingers in marshmallow fluff?
I mean, not the right hand. That's more a left hand thing. The right one's covered in peanut butter.
I've never known someone older than the age of 6 who could snap as poorly as you do.
My 4.5-year-old snaps far better than I do. She snaps with a different finger than I do, for God's sake.
Different finger? Which one does she use?
The pointer?
No. No, that's no.
Take it up with her.
That's nothing. That's nothing.
I'm providing no instruction to her because I am shit at it. So
yeah, that makes sense. That's good. That's good. Say so, yeah, that's surprising. I never knew that. I learned something new about you today.
Yeah, it's not a good one.
No, it's not.
And everyone learned it as well, which is really embarrassing. Right.
Literally thousands of people have learned this about you today. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. What else did I want to say? I have an announcement. For myself, if you are reading any of my books and you've read Apocalypticon, good news, the third book in that series is now out. It's called Broken World, and it's Apocalypticon Part 3. Apocalypticon is a series written by me and starring Patrick. So,
so if you want to wait until page 467 for the story to start...
There's world. A ding. I wrote ding in there. You can search for that. Control F until you find ding. It's out. It's fun. It's great. And it's, like I said, third in the series. The first book is like Patrick plays a part. Patrick's in the first book. Patrick is like half the book. Like there's a good balance of you and the other main character.
Ben, yeah. I mean, protagonist, lead actor.
One of two. One of two.
Patrick in a lead role. No, I mean, Patrick in a lead role. And then I have a sidekick.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's you. Okay. I'm going to give it to you. You edge him out a little bit.
Yes.
Because you have a little bit more lines at the end. So that counts.
We're neck and neck until the final page.
Yeah. Now in the second book, you are almost in there. Not at all.
Well,
almost exclusively Ben.
Well, he had to have one though.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got one. I got one. It's fair.
Yeah. Well, now you have another one. You have a big one because now in the third one, it's almost exclusively you.
Well, there we
go. Almost no Ben. It's very little Ben. So no matter if you like Patrick, this is a great book for you. If you don't like Patrick, just go straight to the second book.
Yeah.
And you'll like that one.
Yeah. So I appreciate you listening to your publisher about, you know, sales are way up on, you know, the first book, second book, not so good.
How do we turn this around?
And they said, you know,
what's the missing thing from the first book?
You got to get Patrick back. You got to sign him back up.
And I said, well, that's hard because he is dead actually now. And they said, I don't know. I got to figure it out.
He's a fictional character. So he's not signing anything. So
if Marvel can bring him back, I can bring him back. Mm-hmm. So here you are. You're back again.
Broken World starring Dark Patrick.
Oh man, if you're gonna buy it, which would be so great, if you're gonna do that, please do it from my website, because again, I have so many books here that I don't want to move. So please please help me. please go to my website and buy all my books. That was the thing I was gonna say. I made this announcement today on my author page about moving to Virginia, and then I realized after that I did that I had actually scrubbed that announcement from the episode where we talked about it.
Oh.
Which is a few episodes ago. So that's actually not in the final episode, because as I was listening to Jeremy's final cut, I was like, well, I don't think this is how people I work with should find out. Because some of them do listen to the show, and I hadn't told them yet.
Very modern. It's very modern, though.
That's true. That's true.
Also, I mean, that's going to bring more listeners in, because they'll say, well, what will Clayton announce next week? We should probably all tune in. What if it's important?
That's true. So, yeah. So anyway, so that's happened. So I'm moving to Virginia, moving to Stanton, Virginia, which is where the haunted train station was from a few episodes ago. And that's why we did that one. Because
you love that episode. You were like, I gotta fucking go. You know,
I was like, man, this ghost slaps. I gotta be here.
This, I need to move to Scotland for a few years. There's a lot of places there for me to frequent.
Gotta live in the White House for a little while.
And then straight to Wisconsin for the rest of my life.
Oh, boy. Do you have any announcements that you want to talk about? Anything you want to share?
You know, now that you mention it, I'm thinking of quitting all social media and just providing all news to all of my friends via this podcast.
Man,
and just
kind of
see.
Great.
That'd be convenient for us.
Yeah, that'd be great. For sure.
Mm-hmm. So I can talk about what I had for breakfast earlier in the week, what I had for breakfast the next day.
That's great.
Normal stuff.
I get to be the first one to hear everything. Absolutely. I like that for me.
Yep. And then 3 weeks later, everybody else gets to hear it.
That's right. If, you know, your wife wants to know what's going on in your life, she better start subscribing to this podcast finally, Amy.
She's real busy. Oh, but no, that's all I had.
Okay, great. Well, do you want to hear a ghost story?
I would love to.
Do you want to try a ding, or do you want to just leave it to Jeremy to cut it in? You can get one more take if you want.
That's fine. Bong.
It's not really a ding.
But on my audio feedback, it looks very much like a dong.
Maybe so Jeremy could add some reverb and really...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looks like a dong.
It looks on my audio feed. It looks like a. Anyway.
Okay. Well, it's turning into an upsetting episode. Speaking of upsetting, this episode is kind of.
Oh.
So
trigger warning.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is. I mean, you know, we don't have like happy stories here. It's not really how you get ghosts.
What is the specific trigger warning? I want to write it down.
This story is a little bit more brutal than some that we
brutality
normally have. Okay. Brutality. Yeah. So rated B for brutality.
B for butane.
This one's hot. Light it up.
B for brutality. Okay. Make sure you put a ding in when the brutal stuff starts then. Or actually, at this point, Jeremy can just take care of all that.
What else? Oh, the other thing about the story before we start. Sorry, we prematurely dinged. Because the other thing I get why people hate it now.
Now I understand all the disappointed all right, looks. All right, okay, all right, this is fair.
Well, these Spotify people are making a lot of sense. I chose the story I put up last week on our Facebook account. I put up two different options for which story to cover this week, and this was the winner. So we're doing this one, and we may do the other one, or we may not. Maybe it's just lost to history forever.
You fucked it up. So sorry, guys.
You made your choice. Now you got to live with it. So let's get started. Ding. You go ahead. You want to ding?
No, I don't.
You're making me mouth. I'm not gonna do that. Well, you know what, Jeremy, if you could just put him.
Yeah,
just choose a good one. Doesn't have to be Patrick's. Ding.
Dong.
Marie Delphine McCarthy was born on March 19th, 1787, in the Spanish colony of Louisiana.
Ooh.
Specifically in the town of New Orleans.
Was it big back then? Was it like a big deal back then?
Sure.
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. I don't know why it wouldn't have been. I mean, it's a big port town, so I assume lots going on.
No, I mean, the Saints weren't there yet. So, I mean, it wasn't really on the map.
But there were a lot of alligators playing trumpets. those are native. So Marie was one of five children. Her father was Louis Barthélemy de McCarthy.
I'm sure.
I think I got the inflections and the pronunciations right
there. Oh, I really appreciate how you backed away from the microphone as you said it as well. Like, I want to get away from this as I'm saying it.
Yeah. Could have been pronounced Louis Bartholomew, I guess, but I don't know.
No,
don't
no, you got to so. Go with you got you got to
Louis.
You got to ride that all the way,
McCarthy. And his father, whose name was Bartholomew de McCarthy. They had moved to New Orleans from Ireland.
Right, clearly. Okay. None of this is surprising. It, yeah.
Around 1730. Marie's mother was Marie Jean Leblanc.
Leblanc. It just gets worse the further back you go. Yeah.
And she was known as the widow Lecomte from a previous marriage that didn't go great for one of the two of them. Yeah. Her marriage was her second. So Marie's family, they're fairly prominent in the Creole community.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like her uncle, one of her uncles was governor of Louisiana and also Florida.
Oh.
From 1785 to 1791. I think at the same time.
What?
I think so. I think so. I don't see why not.
Like there's other states in between too. Like there's Mississippi and Alabama are in there somewhere.
That was bigger then.
Yeah. Okay.
I assume. I don't know.
Governor of the Gulf. Just a Gulf governor, basically.
He was a Gulf governor. Mm-hmm. That's what they called him. Gulf governor.
Corpus Christi to Tampa Bay.
Oh boy, what a run. And her cousin was the mayor of New Orleans for a while from 1815 to 1820. So she's a good connected family.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Who's text? I should have put my watch on. Do not disturb.
I'm texting you. I'm sorry.
Stop it. We're working
meme.
Right now.
I found a meme. I thought you might want to. Never mind.
It's very good.
Not a big deal.
Thank you. Okay. So Marie's family now they were pretty bullish on slavery.
Sure. I mean, why go soft on something like that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So certainly they owned slaves.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I mean, like that's pretty bullish on, I mean, let's be frank. That right there is pretty bullish on slavery.
It's a good people. Sign that yeah. you are indeed bullish yeah. on slavery. Yes.
The line is pretty far over there. So by the time you get to the line, there's not much past the line.
The line is at the wall.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like chipping away at the wall.
And they did. I did mention this one is rated B for brutality, right?
Mm. Oh, it's this kind? I don't like these.
Oh, no, it's not good, but it was like voted this. On, so this is what the public wants.
I don't know if the public knows.
So they're pretty bullish on slavery, so they like slaves. They own slaves. They didn't like slaves. I want to be clear about that. They
yeah, got that.
But they okay, so okay.
Uh-huh. Right.
Another one of Marie's uncles at a time had been killed by his slaves in 1771.
Mm.
So that was definitely the slaves' fault.
Right.
That was their takeaway.
Mm.
Was that here's this poor guy just sitting here minding his own business.
Just sitting here slaving away.
And these people he owned and abused constantly just, I don't know, killed him. It's weird.
Yeah. Came out of nowhere.
And in 1791, when Marie was 4 years old, the Haitian Revolution erupted. You know anything about the Haitian Revolution?
I do not. I would love to know more about the Haitian Revolution.
Let me tell you a little bit about the Haitian Revolution. Let me tell you the Clayton Smith Is This a Ghost version of all about the Haitian Revolution. It was a successful revolt by slaves in Haiti. And here is a quote. The revolution was the only slave uprising that led to the founding of a state which was both free from slavery and ruled by non-whites and former captives. So the Haitian Revolution on the whole was pretty good for slaves in Haiti. Like I don't mean to suggest that like it was a fucking utopia for them after this.
Yeah.
And certainly it was very bloody as it was happening.
Right. Yeah. But again, the alternative, arguably, much, much worse.
I think so. I hesitate to really weigh in on this too much, but I would assume so.
Pretty sure they're pretty excited.
Yeah, I think so. So that was good for the ones in Haiti, but it was less good for the slaves in America because then U.S. slave owners heard about the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And they, of course, get scared that their slaves are going to revolt also.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want that.
Sure.
So
they decide to treat them extra special nice after that? Is that the solution?
No, see, that's the strategy. That's a strategy. I don't know if it was the most popular strategy, but that's one thing you could do. If I'm thinking about it, I'm like, hey, I don't want these people to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
It could be nice to just to be kind to them.
Yeah.
Maybe. Listen.
Maybe.
Here, this is a wild idea. Mm-hmm. You don't want your slaves to kill you? Maybe you don't have slaves anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, but...
if you really want to solve the problem, there's a surefire way to not be killed
sure.
by the people that you own, and that is to not own people.
Yeah. Seems pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if that is what they did. Let's see. Next they were this.
1700 and...
Oh, no.
They spent about 70 years going in the opposite direction.
Yikes. So there were some small uprisings in America inspired by the Haitian Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so for many slave owners, the solution for them was to treat their slaves even more harshly to try to stamp out an insurrection before it started.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to understand why the Civil War thing happened.
Yeah, it seems actually quite stunning that it took so long to get off the ground, huh?
A little embarrassing, frankly.
Yeah, a little. So they start treating their slaves more harshly. Some of them do, many of them do, to stamp out an insurrection. And that particular attitude toward owning people, toward slavery, is very important to this story.
Okay.
So keep in mind, people are going hard.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I just want to remind people about the trigger warning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, you could skip an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Don't skip too many episodes.
Yeah, I mean, or just like skip to the end of the episode and then.
Yeah, we'll do another ding when we're done. And that's how you'll know. So just tune out a little bit. Oh, boy. Okay, so anyway, on June 11th, 1800, Marie marries a man named Don Ramon de Lopez y Angula. A high-ranking Spanish officer.
How could you tell?
A high-ranking Italian. High-ranking Spanish officer. Now, she's 13 years old. So, prime marriage age. How old is Stella?
Let's just go forward a few seconds here.
Boy, history is tough, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact.
Wham!
They got married at St. Louis Cathedral. Maybe it's St. Louis Cathedral. I don't know how they do it down there.
I'm sure, yeah.
Which is still there. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very famous cathedral. I posted some photos of it from when Ryan and I went and you decided not to go a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that cathedral is also very haunted. So I might come back and do a story on that sometime.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, so 4 years after Marie is married, Don Ramon was called back to Spain for an appearance at the royal court.
Ooh, is that good?
So I don't know if it was good.
I can't imagine it's good. Like, imagine getting called into your boss's office, except like relative then to
except
now.
It takes 6 months to get to
your boss's office is on the fucking moon. That's basically what has just happened.
And you don't have a rocket ship.
You're expected to walk. So probably not good is what I'm hearing.
I don't think it's ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's called to his boss's office, called to the royal court back in Spain. And so he's like, well, Marie, we're going to go on this trip. We have to go. Spain is calling. So... Mm-hmm. You go. He's like, that's cool with you, right? You're good? Good with coming on this horrible, super long journey across the ocean? Yes. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I'm literally 8.5 months pregnant, so I guess we'll do it.
Yeah, we should definitely have a child on a ship. That seems like a cool...
8.5 months pregnant.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yes. I don't know how long it takes a ship to get it this time from...
It's not half a month.
it's more than a couple weeks.
It's not a goddamn speedboat. They're not doing like a cocaine run or something like that across the Atlantic.
So I assume she wasn't thrilled with this plan and probably pointed out to him that, hey, dipshit, I'm going to give birth literally any second. Yeah. And he was like, nope, got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So they get on a boat and they're sailing back to Spain. And on the way, they make a quick stop in Havana, Cuba, where Don Ramon dies.
Meeting averted. Woo!
You may be wondering how he died. Under what circumstances did he die?
Please don't.
Let's see. Records suggest it may have been, quote, death by forcing a very pregnant wife to travel across the Atlantic by ship.
Every time. Every time, yeah. 99% lethal, that one.
I mean, I have to assume that she just bludgeoned the shit out of him. It's like, you son of a bitch. So we don't know why he died, but I do have a guess.
He was probably dead when the ship like pushed off from the dock and they just dumped him in Havana. Just
rolled him in. Yeah. Oh no.
Don fell off the boat onto the beach and he's very dead.
What a tragedy. So a few days after his death, Marie gives birth to a little girl. Mm-hmm. Marie Borja Delphine Lopez y Angulo de la Candelaria. Yes. Yeah. Marie Borja Delphine Lopez y Angulo de la Candelaria.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Her nickname was Borquita.
Borquita. Okay.
As someone who dabbles in the Spanish language, and you know what Borquita means, I assume, and that it means what?
Absolutely. Yeah, it means little vase. Little vase.
Okay.
Yeah, little vase.
Okay. I'll buy it. Uh-huh. Does Amy listen to this podcast?
She's gonna be so not anymore. Mad
if she does. She is just. Your wife who teaches Spanish is not gonna stand for this.
She has just turned off the podcast and thrown her phone through the window.
And those papers will be coming through any day now. So Marie and Borquita, they go back to New Orleans, and let's fast forward to June of 1808, so 8 years later. Mm-hmm. Marie's getting older. She's pretty elderly. She's 21.
Osteoporosis has set in.
Oh, man.
She's been living off of tapas for a very long time.
God, that sounds like a way to go. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You can take all the bones out of my body if I can live off tapas for a while.
I had tapas for the first time in a long time in Stanton, actually. And I had, so I was there for a job interview at the university. Mm-hmm. And so they took me to the nicer restaurants in town. And there are some great restaurants, truly, in Stanton. Like, there's a Michelin star restaurant in this small, tiny town. It's wild. I guess there's all these, like, expat DC chefs who just, like, go. So it was great. The food was excellent. But I was there with my now future chair of my department, the dean of the School of Business, and the provost of the college.
Okay.
So, like, every boss that I will have except for the president was there. Right. Yep. And they're all great. And we're talking. We're having a good time. We go to dinner and we're doing tapas. And I was so hungry when we left.
Tapas restaurant is not a good place to go in, like, super hungry.
No. And it's not a good, like, it's good if you have time. We also went in 30 minutes before they closed.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't make the reservation.
Is there not a Texas Roadhouse in this town? I mean, that's really what you need here.
Yeah. So we walk out of the meal, and like everyone kind of goes there different ways. And then the dean of the school and I were walking the same direction. So we walk, and he goes, "Are you still hungry?" And I said, "I am starving."
He goes, "Is there a Sonic Let's around go get here?" Some food.
Anyway, they were delicious though. Tapas. Oh, tapas is never a bad idea. It's just not always the only idea.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's old. 21. Marie gets married a second time to a man whose name is Jean Blanc, which is a great name.
Just John White.
Jean Blanc.
I loved him in Reservoir Dogs. Like,
Sacre bleu, I am shot.
Sacre bleu, I am a cop.
Mon Dieu, there is so much blood. Is this accurate to real life? He was a prominent banker and merchant and lawyer and legislator.
Oh, okay. So like the full loop there.
The full white, I think we call that.
Yeah. He went a full Jean Blanc, pretty much.
They buy a house together on Royal Street in what is now known as the French Quarter. Mm-hmm. And I was curious about this because I was, as we know, just there. So I Googled the house, and this is not really pertinent to our story in a big way, but I thought I would show it to you.
Yeah.
We didn't see any visuals last week because I couldn't show you two real photos and one photo made by ChatGPT.
I would have picked that thing out of a crowd.
So here's our house, and now it's an antique store.
Okay. Ida Mannheim and Pew Antiques.
Yeah.
Looks pretty pretty standard New Orleans right there. Bunch of shit falling off the front of it. So
there's a lot of shit falling. Look at that. That's not in great shape.
Bunch of closed shutters. Now it is. They probably don't open anymore.
Old.
Yeah. It looks super old.
Yeah. Those are glued in place for sure.
Yeah. Just staple gun right to the stucco.
So they live in there. They're living a great life where they have some slaves they're real mean to. And Marie has four more children. Marie-Louise Pauline, Louise-Marie Lore, Marie-Louise Jeanne, and Jean-Pierre Pauline Blanc.
It's like the Taco Bell menu of kids' names. Oh, yeah. Tortilla, beans, cheese. Tortilla, cheese, beans. Tortilla, meat, beans, cheese. And Pico.
You ever think maybe you missed out on some real fun with your kids' names? Like, in hindsight, like, you name them all different things that aren't related.
It's the beauty of having two cats. Because every night,
every single night,
Amy and I are like, you know what we should have called them? Should have called them Thunder and Puddles. That's what we should have called them.
You know what? And you can do that. And they don't.
They I'll tell really you don't
about
know.
Cats. They don't know.
Yeah. Axel was 19 years old, 20 years old. He was such an old cat. At no point did he know what his name was. At no point.
Not once did he even bat an eye when you said Axel.
His name was Shaking the Food Dish. That was his name. If you had if you put a gun to his head and you asked him, what is your name? He would say, the sound of the...
So that's their children. but Marie's poor husband, Jean Blanc, he dies suddenly
again.
In 1816.
Black Widow Syndrome.
Mon Dieu.
Mm-hmm. Did he also get dumped in Havana, Cuba somehow?
It's so weird. Let's see. So Marie lives that single life for a while, which is good. She's living it up with, I guess, five kids now in total.
Mm-hmm.
But on June 25th, 1825, she marries what?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
You love June.
I do.
Is that what this is about?
That's my kid's name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that why you gasped?
I did. Yeah.
I mean, I'll just let you in on a secret here. From kind of this is like how the sausage is made. Every time I say a date, there's a 1 in 12 chance it'll be in June.
It's my favorite month.
You just look so happy right now. I love that for you. So she gets married again on June 25th, 1825.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's 29. And she marries her third husband.
Mm-hmm.
Now this man is a doctor. And only a doctor. Mm-hmm.
And how ridiculous is his name?
Leonard Louis Nicolas Lalaurie.
Okay. Four names. That's a lot of names.
It's a lot of names.
I mean, it's like one more than a serial killer would have. So that's so he's a lot of names.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know you can marry him because he will not serial kill.
Mm-hmm.
He was 15 years younger than Marie.
Wait, what?
Nice.
Hang on.
Yeah, let me do the math here.
Well, so yeah, math gets really hard here.
She can't be 29. Hold on a second.
She marries a prepubescent boy, largely for the money.
When was she born? She was born 1788. Okay, so some of my numbers are off here. 1787 was when she was born.
Mm.
And this is in 1825.
Okay, so she's what, like 38 or something like that?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so that's better.
Yeah. She doesn't marry fucking King Tut. Hey, you want to get
married? Yeah. I'm a doctor. Yeah. I think you're real pretty.
Sure, Doogie. Yeah, let's get married. Why not?
oh, no. My pants feel weird. boy. Okay, so, gosh, now where are we here? So a few years later then, in 1831, Marie buys some property up the road at 1140 Royal Street. Mm. So just a couple blocks up. Mm-hmm. Now, this is important. She buys it.
Okay.
Marie buys the property.
Not Doogie Howser.
Not Doogie Howser, MD.
Mm-hmm.
It's her. Now, she has money because the first husband, do we say what he did? He was like governor.
Yeah. Right? He was the governor. He was the Gulf governor, right?
No, that was her uncle. She did not marry him. He was a high-ranking Spanish officer, so I'm sure he had he had ill-gotten gains.
Sure.
And then her second husband had four big jobs.
Yeah.
So she's got a lot of cash now. Then she marries a doctor, but she takes her own money and buys this new house. Where is this? Here we go. At 1140 Royal Street, as I said, she buys it. It's in her name only. Leonard is not involved.
Hmm.
He is allowed to live there, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, she should. sets up down the street. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice corner lot, and the previous owner had started the house, but had left it unfinished.
Okay.
Excuse me. So over the course of the next year, Marie finishes the house.
Damn. She
builds it out to a two-story mansion, complete with separate slave quarters.
Very tasteful.
So Marie and her husband move into the house with two of her daughters.
Okay.
I don't know where the rest of the children are. they fell out of the story as soon as they were introduced. Life's going fine there.
For
like a year?
For them.
For the Oh, yes. Yeah. Not for all residents of the house. Actually, probably for the majority of the house. Yeah, not.
Not cool.
That's a good distinction to make. But soon their marriage starts to show some signs of strain. Oh. On November 16th, 1832, Leonard showed up, dead in Havana. Wow. November 16th, 1832, Marie petitions for a separation, saying that Lawlery had, quote, treated her in such a manner as to render their living together unsupportable.
Mm.
And her children confirmed that there were some pretty serious issues, and he was not treating her very well.
Mm.
So Marie is granted this separation, but it may not have been, lasted because another quote I found was Dr. Lawlery was present at the Royal Street House on April 10th, 1834, the day of the fire.
Okay. So it could be like a sitcom type quality. Like, yeah, we're divorced, right? But, you know, I'll let you stay in the main house for a little while you get back on your feet.
I like poker and I like naps. I like eating food. I don't like to cook. That's
pretty much, know. Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep, yeah.
Typical, typical divorcee, odd couple type stuff.
Yeah.
Odd couple theme song and plus slave quarters, which is not the way any of those shows usually.
That's not Neil Simon had nothing to do with that. Absolutely not. So let's see. So yeah, he's present on day of the fire. So we know that like he was at least around there a lot.
Mm-hmm. Was there questions a fire? About,
okay, there. Thanks. Okay. Anyway, so Marie, so when Marie was out in public, she was generally said to be quote, polite to black people.
Mm-hmm.
And she was often quote, solicitous of the health of those enslaved.
Okay.
But rumors started to spread about her unusually cruel treatment of her own slaves in the Lawlery mansion. People around town whispered about how Marie's slaves were, quote, singularly haggard and wretched compared to other enslaved individuals in New Orleans. Going to make some jokes.
No, I do really, not.
This
no.
is a good place for some gravity. Okay.
I am grimacing as hard as one can grimace at this point.
You are. If you're not watching the YouTube version, Patrick's face has never done this before. Mm-hmm. So let's barrel through this part. Mm-hmm. Between the years 1830 and 1834, according to funeral registers, there were 12 documented deaths of slaves at the Lawlery Mansion.
Oh.
So 12 deaths documented in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And the causes of death are not mentioned in those reports.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, rumors about Marie's mistreatment of slaves became so widespread that the local government sent a lawyer. Okay, the local government.
Mm-hmm. The government of New Orleans, Louisiana.
Of Louisiana.
Yeah.
Very pro-slavery.
Right, yeah. Pretty much as far down there as you can get.
Yep. They send a lawyer to remind Marie of the laws about the upkeep of slaves. If others, let me tell you something.
Here's how you know you fucked up.
If other slave owners are coming to your house to tell you how badly you're treating your slaves,
you are giving us a bad name.
You, I'm just going to keep going here. But I will say in her defense, during his visit, the lawyer found no evidence to suggest the mistreatment of slaves by Marie.
Mm-hmm.
However, and again, I will just remind everyone for a second time, the B rating here.
Mm-hmm.
Not long after that lawyer's visit, a young slave girl named Leah, who was between the ages of 8 and 12, She was brushing Marie's hair one morning when she hit a snag and accidentally yanked Marie's hair with the comb. Marie was furious, so she grabbed a whip and chased Leah around the house. Leah, obviously running away from her, went up to the top floor. She climbed up to the roof to get away from Marie, but in doing so, she slipped and she fell from the top of the house to her death below.
Oh.
Do you have a joke?
I do not.
You have one job here, and it would be great if you could just, like, I don't know, make this all kind of go down easier.
No, I got the pause button pretty securely held down at this point.
Okay. All right, well, we'll just go forward then. So this did lead to a more formal investigation of Marie, mm-hmm. and...
This is the 13th person, the 13th slave that has died in the residence. Okay.
Yes, correct.
Is that like a law they have?
In 4 years.
Yeah. Is it like a law they have? Like 13 is like...
It's bad luck.
That's too much.
Yeah, it's one too many. So this leads to a more formal investigation of Marie, and this time she's found guilty of illegal cruelty.
Hmm.
Do you have any guesses about what the penalty might be for illegal cruelty to slaves?
I am willing to bet it is a fine.
It's actually a little bit, a little bit. It's a little bit more aggressive than I would have expected.
Okay.
She had to forfeit 9 slaves.
Okay.
So it is a fine.
How many people live in this fucking mansion? This is...
a lot. Fewer every day, though.
Well, yeah, clearly.
So she had to forfeit 9 slaves. So mm-hmm. that's at least good for them.
Out of...
I don't know.
This, I mean, if 9 is like everybody, then cool, great, awesome. But forfeiting 9 slaves makes it really sound like they're doing some math here. You know,
that's a percentage.
Yeah.
Well, if it helps,
mm-hmm.
and it may not, but if it helps, it doesn't actually matter in the long run because those 9 slaves were then bought back by Marie's cousin, who then returned them to Marie's house.
Ooh. Okay.
So, so you're getting an idea of like how things are.
Pretty awful.
The mansion, right? Pretty bad. We don't have to keep talking about those stories, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
Great. Okay. Let's talk about the fire.
Yeah. The cleansing fire.
On April 10th, 1834, a fire breaks out in the house. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty big fire. Big mm-hmm. enough that people outside the house are like, that house is on fire.
That's when you know you fucked up. When people outside the house are like, oh, your house is definitely on fire now.
Oh, this is embarrassing for you. Look at that smoke. Oh, no. So fire marshals arrive on the scene. They rush inside to put out the flames. Mm-hmm. And they can tell the fire is mostly raging in the kitchen. It started in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of them run into the kitchen to put out the fire there. They find it. They also find the 70-year-old cook who is chained to the stove by her ankle.
Ooh.
So the fire marshals put out the fire, mm-hmm. And then they tend to the cook, and, you know, they are horrified.
Mm-hmm.
So they cut her free, they tend to her wounds, and she tells them that she is the one who set the fire as a suicide attempt.
Oh, my God.
Because she was afraid of being punished for something she'd done earlier in the day. And apparently... going up in flames was preferable to whatever the punishment might have been for whatever she did.
Oof.
So that's obviously horrific. She also tells them that slaves were sometimes taken upstairs in the house to a special room and then were never seen again. So the fire marshals are hearing this story and they're like, they're out of there.
Yeah.
This is fucked, right? Like, this is not what they were expecting to come into.
Like, I joined the fire department to not have to deal with all of this, just so you know.
They're like, look, we get slavery. It's cool and everything, but I don't know about this. So while this is going on, Marie's neighbors start rushing over to the house because the house is on fire and they want to help.
Sure. Yeah. Or at least look.
So yeah, how many you have a little neighborhood there? You got a few.
I do neighbors. Have a little neighborhood here. Yeah, yeah.
Have you made? You don't have to tell me names or anything, but have you made a mental list? Just walk around your life, just of which neighbors you would help and which neighbors you would look at in case of fire of their homes.
I mean, everyone has a list. You know, I mean, that's I think everybody has a list. Let's be honest.
How many? What's our percentage? What percentages are we talking about here for you?
Within eyesight or earshot?
I think. Ooh boy, it's got to be earshot, right?
High 90s. I would go help.
On which side?
All sides.
Okay. I've heard. I asked because I've heard some stories about one of your neighbors, and I'm just wondering.
No, they're all lovely.
That's a watch.
Every
that's
single
a watch, huh?
They're all no. lovely.
All of them. They don't listen to this
every
podcast.
Single. You can speak freely.
Anyway, okay. So back to Marie. So the neighbors run over. They want to help evacuate the mansion because apparently there are just so many people in there. Mm-hmm. They run in the house. They get to the slave quarters to let the slaves out, and the door is locked.
Okay.
Right.
Not great.
So they ask, what?
Not great.
No, I mean,
doesn't the house is like on fire.
Well, see, this is like, I'm sure it's always kept locked, but no one has unlocked it yet. And that's
troubling.
It's a problem. So the neighbors, some of the neighbors go to Marie and they ask her for the key and she refuses to give it to them. And she tells them to get out of her house.
You're not a firefighter. Get out of here.
But obviously the house is on fire and there are human beings in there. So the neighbors are like, well, fuck you. And they literally break down the door.
Oh my gosh.
And again, these are all slave owners. So I just want to, you know, constantly level set. There are no real heroes in this story. But like, again, if like other people who are pro-slavery are like, you are, you have a real problem. It's a real problem. So they break down the door and inside they find, quote, 7 slaves, more or less horribly mutilated, suspended by the neck, with their limbs apparently stretched and torn from one extremity to the other. End quote. Some people have suggested that Dr. LaLaurie and his wife were conducting medical experiments on their slaves, which is, I suppose, possible. It's certainly never been proven. I don't, you know. What do you think? Please talk for once.
I mean, this is all like just patently horrible. Yeah.
So some people think they're experiments, but these people are still alive.
Oh, okay.
And they said that they had been locked in that room for several months.
Oh.
One of the neighbors who had entered the room was a judge named Jean-François Canonange. Now, he was later deposed under oath and about this whole thing. And he said that in the LaLaurie mansion, he had found, among others, one woman wearing an iron collar and an old woman who had received, quote, a very deep wound on her head, too weak to be able to walk. When Canonage asked Marie's husband about the state of the slaves, LaLaurie told him, quote, some people had better stay at home rather than come to others' houses to dictate laws and meddle with other people's business.
Put out fires.
You let our house burn to the ground, you asshole. The group also found that Marie's slaves were emaciated and that some of them wore spiked iron collars that kept their heads from moving.
Oh,
so this is a gross understatement, but it is a bad scene in there. So word spread, but they get them all out of there.
Okay.
They remove them from the house and, you know, I certainly would not suggest like they're okay after that,
but at least they're no longer
under the
right.
The supervision of the LaLaurie's.
Right. Until they're purchased by another cousin.
I moved back. Didn't into the research house. Too hard because I was like, I can't read that again. I just can't do it. And I just want to. Oh, I want to remind everyone too. Like, there was another non-slave option, and these our listeners went real hard to the LaLaurie mansion. So, so word spreads pretty quickly around New Orleans about how Marie LaLaurie tortured her slaves. And the people in New Orleans are pissed. Right? Like everyone is pissed. A mob forms.
Oh, wow.
And while the house is still burning, the mob storms the house. They, quote, demolished and destroyed everything upon which they could lay their hands. They rip this fucking mansion apart. So, I mean, good for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a small victory, I guess. So while this is all happening, while the mob's destroying the mansion, Marie, though, slips away and she takes a coach to the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
She jumps in a boat and she travels to Mobile, Alabama.
Mm.
And for those Apocalypticon fans out there, that's right. That's the home of Fort Doom, where Patrick and Ben spend a lot of their time in book one. And if you haven't read that, some people say there's never a bad time for an organic plug.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning that's wrong.
People listen to this podcast. So.
Yeah. And from Mobile, Marie boards a bigger boat and she sails to Paris.
Mm, okay.
There's a fun little coda on this story. And by that, that should mean to you, that should signify to you that this story's over. she just goes to Paris. Mm. But fun little quote on her story. In 1842, Marie, who is, you know, at this point getting on in years, she apparently decided she wanted to go back to New Orleans. And she had no memory of why she had left in the first place.
Okay.
So there's some dementia happening. Mm-hmm. And her children were like, Mom, abso-fucking-lutely not. absolutely not. And apparently they fought. I had to fight very hard to keep her from returning to New Orleans because she did not remember the circumstances of her flight.
Hmm.
Now, the details of Marie's death are unclear. Although one story I found kind of fun was that she died in a boar hunting accident. However it happened, she did die in Paris in her 60s.
Hmm.
Now, meanwhile, back in New Orleans, that was a code out to Marie's story. Marie's done, okay. Obviously, but back in New Orleans, in 1838, the house, which has just been, you know, burned and mm-hmm. ripped to the ground by the yeah. bare hands of the mob, it was rebuilt by a man named Pierre Trasteur.
Hmm.
And the house that he built in 1838 is the house you'll see there today, which I will share with you. This is the other one. Here is that.
Oh, very, very tasteful. I like that.
It's great. It's a great looking mm-hmm. house. This is our tour guide for our ghost tour that Ryan and I went on.
Mm-hmm.
He was interesting and fine. But this is the house.
I love
it.
Yep.
It's like nice.
The wraparound second floor balcony. I love that.
Yeah. And this is where I learned the difference. This is a balcony. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of these buildings, they have a second story thing that looks like a balcony, but it's only like half of it.
Uh-huh.
That's called, and God, what was I forgot already. Is it an arcade? No, that's not right. It's got a different name.
Huh.
We'll immediately regret yeah. bringing that up. Yep. Jeremy, can you do me a quick favor? Just like Google what that would be and then like record it in your voice, but yeah. sound like me yeah. a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then just got that in there. That would be awesome. So anyway, that's the house. Now, Pierre didn't keep the house long. He sold it pretty quickly. And for the next few decades, the LaLaurie, the house that was built on the spot of the LaLaurie mansion,
mm-hmm.
it kept turning over every few years.
Mm-hmm. He didn't keep the name, right? He changed the name, I would assume.
I assume he did. However, yeah. it is now known again as the LaLaurie mansion, Ooh. Even though it's not the building.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it's known. So
seems like
that's I'll just tell you, that's going to tie into a little bit to why we're talking about it tonight. So in the 1870s, the LaLaurie mansion was turned into an apartment building, which was mostly occupied by immigrant dock workers and their families. Immediately upon moving in, though, a lot of them began to hear unexplained moans, disembodied screams, scratching noises under the floorboards.
Hmm.
And the sound of chains dragging across the floor.
Ugh.
Yeah. Would you rather hear the sound of scratching on top of the floorboards or under the floorboards?
Oh, probably under.
You'd rather hear under?
Because I would figure if somebody could get above the floorboards, yeah. they would. But if they're stuck under there and scratching, I figure, okay, you're somebody else's problem.
As long as we never have to refinish these floors, and, you know, one guy with the machine goes a little too crazy on it, we're fine. I don't know. I think I'd rather have someone scratch above
mm-hmm.
the floorboards because
then you could like flip on the lights and be like, oh, there's nobody.
Oh, it's nothing.
Yeah, not a big deal.
It's safe here. And also, I don't know, something about scratching under the floorboards is very horrifying because that could be a real person. Also, how do you know, though, if it's above or below?
That's a good question.
A real trained ear, huh?
Be a real expert to know about that. You have to have heard a lot of people scratching below floorboards to know the difference, I would assume. No. That's very much below the floorboards. I know the difference.
Anyway, so that wasn't great. And a lot of residents complained also about the smell. Oh, this is bad. Of burning flesh.
Ugh.
One night, one of the residents came home and was headed up the stairs to his apartment. When he looked up and saw a man standing on the stairs, the man was bound in chains. So the resident, he tells the man to move, and the man does not move. So he tries to push past the man, and his hands went straight through the man's body.
Oof.
So that resident freaked the fuck out. Obviously. And he told everybody in the building. And the next day, every single tenant moved out.
Oof.
After that, the building changed hands again. Over the years, it became a halfway house, a bar. For a while, it was a high school. It was a furniture store. And then it became a private residence. After Hurricane Katrina, which is now we're getting into obviously recent times, the La Lurie Mansion was purchased for $3.45 million by an actor, an A-list Hollywood actor. And let me just see if you can guess this. If you had to guess, which A-list Hollywood actor in, 2007 or so, bought a haunted fucking mansion in New Orleans. Any guesses?
Gosh. Say Matthew McConaughey.
That's a good guess. Very good guess. In some ways, you're not too far off. In some ways, you're very far off. Do you want a second shot?
No. Go ahead.
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, that is a good one. That's quite good. Yep.
Yeah. So Nicolas Cage buys it as his pied-à-terre in New Orleans. But unfortunately for our friend Nick, I didn't know this. Apparently, he has a history of tax fraud. Did you know that? What's happened? Your cats are big Nicolas Cage fans, and they just
huge crash
out.
Huge crash back there, and we will figure that out in a few minutes.
Sure. Did you know Nick Cage had a history of tax fraud?
I did not know that. No, that's news to me.
Seems like shouldn't have to because he's obviously quite famous, and also like he's a Coppola,
right?
He'd be like, "Hey, Uncle Francis, can I borrow?" Like, you know. 0.0008% of your wealth. But a few years later, in 2009, the IRS was like, "Hey, bud, you owe us $6.3 million in taxes."
He was like, "Will you take house? Because I have house."
Yes, indeed. So he did indeed. He sold the house to help cover the taxes. Mm-hmm. He also, I was a little lost in the tour. So there's a tour, we went on a tour when we were there St. Louis Cemetery number one, which is one of the oldest cemeteries in New Orleans. And Nicolas Cage has purchased one of the plots there, which is very hard to do because it's such an old cemetery, right? Like they're all full.
Yeah.
But he purchased a plot there and he built this just ridiculous. I wonder if I have a picture photo of it somewhere. I mean, you can Google it. You'll see it. Basically a pyramid for himself. And that's his
above ground.
Yes.
What is that called?
Mausoleum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. His is a pyramid. Now, according to our tour guide, who I do not think liked Nicolas Cage very much, said he bought the whole thing as part of the tax dodge, like to get a tax cut. He got some sort of tax benefit from doing that. The guy was like, he has no fucking plan to retire here. He's not from here. He lived here for a while. He's not coming here when he's dead. We don't want him here when he's dead. So he's well loved in New Orleans. But anyway, so he owed a lot of money in taxes. So he's fucking broke. He sells the house, but it totally explains all the wild ass movies he's been in the last like 10 years. Because you know, he's been in some crazy stuff, and some of it's amazing, and some of it is like, what is this? Yeah.
It's like, ah, this is a paycheck. I know, I see where this is going. Okay.
Yeah. Here's a fun quote I found. Quote, the Renfield actor, which I do want to see, actually. Renfield looks
It does look very good. Fun. Yeah.
The Renfield actor defended appearing in a string of critically mocked films as he struggled with repayments by saying, even if the movie ultimately is crummy, they know I'm not phoning it in, that I care every time. Care about staying out of jail, I guess. Anyway, I like Nick Cage, and I'm in. I'm in for all this. The worse the movie that he's in, the better the movie. Oh, absolutely. You know?
Yeah, the better the experience.
Anyway, so the Lallery Mansion is now owned by a rich Texas idiot named Michael Whalen, who sometimes uses it for parties. Now, since it's a private residence, no one can go inside, but even today, some people will walk up Royal Street and see men and women in chains on the sidewalk in front of the Lallery Mansion. And those people disappear as soon as you get close. People also report a red-haired woman glaring down at them from the second-story window, a woman who appears to be of Irish descent, perhaps, Marie herself. Yeah, they swear that she looks a whole lot like the portraits they've seen of Marie Lallery. And you, like the wider you, listeners, y'all, the royal you, y'all may be familiar with this story if you've seen season 3 of American Horror Story, which I have not, because I watched the second season. I watched first season, fine. Second season, I was going through my whole, like, have you watched any of American Horror Story?
Yeah, which I'm trying to, we watched Freak Show, we watched the first season, watched Freak Show. We watched, we watched the Coven one and maybe the hotel one.
Second one was the one, the second season was the one where they, the demonic possession one with James Cromwell.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
I got almost to the end and I was like, this was during my whole time of like, I've had a real, Catholicism reckoning over the last, several years. So this was during my transition from like strict Catholic upbringing to like, wait a minute, I don't know if I think this makes any sense. I would be better watching it now, but at the time it's like, I don't know, fuck with possession. So I never finished it. So I never kept going, but I want to go back, so I've not seen this season 3, but in season 3 of American Horror Story, it was basically this story. So a fictionalized version of Marie Lallery was played by the fucking indomitable Kathy Bates, who is a treasure. Nothing to say about Kathy Bates?
No.
Okay, fine.
Kind of immediately
grabbed Misery?
I immediately grabbed my ankles. As soon as you said Kathy Bates, I grabbed my ankles.
Did you see About Schmidt?
That
came out during our Blockbuster time.
Jack Nicholson? Yeah. I did not, no.
Okay.
It looked like it was a not very exciting movie. So I decided not to watch it.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a very surprising scene where Kathy Bates is in a hot tub and she stands up and she's naked, which is not what it was a very jarring moment in cinematic history because you don't expect it.
Anna Clayton history.
But I will say, good for her. Like, amazing. Yeah,
sure.
I love Kathy Bates. Mm-hmm. She's fucking killer. And then I guess in this show, literally. So, I don't know. None of this story makes me want to watch season 3 of American Horror Story, but anyway, you all may have done it. Anyway, last note, I also found a Reddit thread started by someone who claims to have worked at the Lallery Mansion for a few months as someone, I think in the kitchen, as a cook or a housekeeper. And she details some of the disturbing shit that she experienced during her time there. She claims, and this is Reddit, so, grain of salt.
Yeah.
But she claims that while she was there, she would often smell rotting meat. She would hear the sound of chains, and she also would see men in chains in the stairwell. Oof. So her original post is actually pretty long. I'm not going to read it, but I will link to it in the show notes along with the sources. So if you want to check it out, I do recommend it. It's very interesting, if true. And, I guess that could just be the whole, that's the mantra of this whole podcast.
If true, this is all very exciting and worth your time.
That's right. So that is the story of the haunted Lallery Mansion that I want to be very clear, our listeners picked out, not me, because that was a tough one to get through.
I picked the other one.
I, should have picked the other one. You did pick the other one?
I did pick the other one. Yeah.
The other one's very good. We'll do it because it's very good. So we'll get to the other one. But gosh, any, I don't know, any closing thoughts?
Pat? No. No, great episode. Really, really just wall to wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No problems here. Mm-hmm. Well, Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. This story, the notes here were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were made, in some cases, not made at all by Patrick Dean.
Avoided, in fact.
Our audio, I don't know, I say wizard. I think we can go from audio engineer to audio wizard.
Congratulations. Pat,
but yeah, it's a big promotion for Jeremy. The pay is the same. Mm-hmm. It's that doesn't change. But episode 100, we had some audio issues with Jen's audio. Mm-hmm. No fault to Jen. That's actually my fault because I didn't run a check. So not throwing shade at Jen. We had some audio issues. And Jeremy, I mean, the work that he did on that it's fucking incredible. It's really incredible. So I think he gets upgraded to audio wizard.
Wow.
Woo. So
good, yes, for him.
Congratulations to Jeremy. And again, it does not come with pay. our video editor and lead brainstormer is Jen Swanson. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. Oh, that's the other thing. I got a note from Kai finally, because I've been saying it wrong for so long. And you know, because you were there during the live recording, live taping with people.
Right.
Afterward, I said, "Hey, Kai's here. Is it Kai Valonis? Am I pronouncing that right?" But she had some, she had audio issues, so she couldn't respond. Mm. And I guess even after that, it was until like 3 days ago that she was like, "I feel so bad telling you, just so you know, you've been pronouncing my name wrong the whole time." So it's not Kai Valonis, it's Kai Valonis. And I apologize, Kai. Anyway, Kai's our social media manager, and she's having a lot of fun on Instagram. So if you don't follow us there, go check us out at Is This a Ghost? And gosh, Patrick's toilet is running, so that means it's time for us to turn this off. Good luck out there, everybody. Watch out for falling pianos, because if you don't, you might be the next ghost that we talk about on Is This a Ghost?